Okay. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Ben.
Marvellous. Thank you, Matt. If you've not already, can you press record? Great. Thank you very much. Such a great story. Thank you, Sam. Brilliant. And I know I know so many of us have got those kind of stories of feeling like we're being called out of what's comfortable into something good and seeing God be faithful. Thank you. So we are, third Sunday in November. I think it's reasonable to talk about Christmas, isn't it? Wonder how you are feeling. Let's have a quick wave poll. How do you feel about the impending coming of Christmas? Up in the air, really excited. Down on the floor, or somewhere in between. Let's see. Interesting. Come on, people. Let's join in. Moving our bodies is good. Great. Interesting. A mix. I'm a dad of a certain era with teenage kids. So, of course, John Lewis got me this year. Man. Oh, dear. Well done, John Lewis. I wonder what you've started thinking about presents. Some of you are probably already sorted, aren't you? Because you're very organised. There's some nods at the back. Some of you are all done. That's great. Some of you will be thinking about the sustainability and the cost of it all, and we'll be starting planning what you're going to make for people this year. Again, very impressive. Others, you are making your lists of who you want to get things. Some of you may well be letting others do all of that hard work, and you're going to nip out on Christmas Eve and try and pull something out of the hat. It may be, here's a favour, it may be that you might want to get involved earlier than that, if that's you. I'm a present person. I love thinking about that kind of stuff and thinking about, well, what might people like. I'm not always the most organised of present getters, so I imagine there's people in my household that sometimes get a bit frustrated with my approach to giving. but I love that part of it. Although, I also understand and respect those that find that really stressful. And I think I totally get that there's a financial pressure, a time pressure, and just the stuff we carry pressure that makes present getting, as all parts of, you know, the Christmas thing, a whole mix of feelings, isn't it? But I love that. Generosity. I love gift exchange. It's great. Last time we were together at Central Gathering, Chris talked to us about the first of our six core values as Kairos: generosity. We're teaching on these core values at our central gatherings, remember, because, it's brilliant to hear the sound of a baby amongst us again. Thank you. That's great. Love it. We're teaching these core values because it feels like we're in a time of stirring crisis renewal. And God is stirring up some amazing things, and there's all sorts of other things being stirred as well. Forgive me, you've heard me say this before, there's amazing things being awoken in our country, and there's dragons as well, and so we need to be discerning and wise. And so we are responding to that by saying, okay, these are the six things as we've prayed about what it means to follow Jesus as Kairos. These are the six things that we felt God keep coming back to us. So we're going to be walking through these probably forever, or at least till Easter. You're going to love them. Chris, last time, introduced us to the theme of generosity through reminding us of God's incredible generosity through creation, making room for others, for making room for not God. You're a perfectly happy being, living in all eternity, three in one, in joy, and yet you decide to create other. What an incredible act of generosity and love. And then Chris took us through some of the passages in the Bible that show God's faithfulness when humans are unfaithful, when humans are not generous, when humans take what's offered and either hoard it or throw it back. God is consistently faithful to God's people. And Chris talked about how in Jesus, we see God's perfect generosity. Living, teaching, dying, rising again for people so that we might be invited into that relationship with God. We can talk about generosity because we know of God's great generosity to us. Most perfectly shown in the life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus, which offers us a way back home to God. If you've not come back home to God through Jesus, I invite you simply to say yes to God and do that. Yes, I turn to you. Yes, I give up my own way. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Turn me around. Lead me towards you. I want to think today about how we respond to that gracious, abundant, incredible generosity. I think there are probably two postures. Can you pop the next slide on? Two postures that such amazing generosity of God prompts in God's people. Real simple ones. Worship and mission. And I think those two responses are actually best understood as coming from or participating in God's great generosity to us. Worship. How can we not, when we look at the beauty of creation, at the wonder of what God's made, when we consider the epic journey of God's faithfulness with God's people who again and again were unfaithful, and yet God's again and again sending prophets, leaders, people that will call those people back. When we think of God's great gift of God's self in Jesus, you know, coming up to Advent and Christmas, that's what we've been thinking about, isn't it? The incarnation, the coming of God as human to be with us. And then the sticking with us, living so generously that God might allow God to be killed by people and then break through that. How can we not worship? Three little quotes around that. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in prison towards the end of his life in Nazi Germany, wrote this. In ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give. And that it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. Just ponder for a moment. What does it take to grow the generosity of heart that when you're in a Gestapo prison, that's what you write? Wow. The 14th century Dominican mystic Meister Eckhart has this little prayer, which I love. The only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you. That'll be enough. If all you ever say every day is, oh, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. That's enough. There's a natural response of thanksgiving that comes from us as we connect with God's generosity. And yes, I know life's hard. I know our bodies fail. I know we have tough stuff in ourselves and our families. I know the pain and the grief that many of us carry. I know the anxiety and worry we feel and anger we feel when we look at the world. With all that, though, when we look at the astounding goodness of God, how can our prayer not be thank you? There's this story in all four of the Gospels. Jesus is eating. A woman comes in. In John's Gospel, we're told it's Mary. Pours perfume on Jesus' feet. And we're told in John's Gospel that the house is filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Worship, as we respond in thanks and praise, as we sing, as we dance, as we improvise, as we live, as we say, Lord, my whole life is worship to you. Worship fills our houses and our streets and our neighborhoods and our workplaces with the fragrance of perfume, the fragrance of God's generosity. As we respond with thank you and yes, and worship and adoration, it changes atmospheres. I wonder if you've ever been in that kind of situation where you've been facing oppression or darkness or difficulty, and it's been praise and thanksgiving and worship that's shifted the atmosphere, and then you've seen a breakthrough. I have. Remember some of the toughest times in my life, facing loss and grief, where it was actually only as I took those hard steps to say, okay, Lord, there's all of this, but I choose to say thank you and I choose to worship, that I started to see change taking place. And we thankfully are invited then to give God our requests. God is interested in you and in what you need because God's generous. So that prayer we start with at the last couple of gatherings, ask, seek, knock. Because God loves you and is into the stuff about your life and so wants to know what you need and wants you to participate in asking for what the world needs. So as you worship and say thank you, ask, seek, knock. Those deepest desires that are your hollowness at night. Those needs you think of when you look at your family, your friends, your colleagues. Those longings for that person who doesn't yet know Jesus, who's been walking their own way, but you've been trying to go with them. You've been trying to stay close and partner with them and be a friend to them. God wants you to keep asking, keep knocking. God loves you and wants to act. So our first response to God's generosity is through worship. And our second is in mission. Because I think of these kind of questions, I often wonder, why on earth, God, Do you leave the whole, like, evangelism, making the world better, telling people about Jesus? Why do you leave that to us? That doesn't seem the most efficient route to delivering. It's not the most efficient good news delivery mechanism to leave it to folk like you and me. I don't think God's necessarily worried in efficient delivery mechanisms. I think God invites us into God's mission. He doesn't leave it all to us. He's at work. He's at work among every generation in our world, in our nation, and particularly among the young generations right now. Meeting people in dreams, speaking to people, kind of in a way that they can understand, stirring up. He doesn't leave it all to us, but he does invite us to participate for our own good. Because there's something about seeing God's generosity, stepping into it and sharing that with others, that's just really, really good for us. Helen, who's with the youth this morning, introduced me to a quote from the Rule of Benedict earlier in the summer, which I sort of paraphrasing, and some of you heard this before, but throughout the Rule of Benedict, one of the first monastic rules for people trying to live as community faithfully following Jesus, there is this idea of hospitality. And he says that hospitality expands the heart of those that offer it. Mission expands the hearts of those who go on it. Evangelism, having the courageous moment where you say, no, this is what I believe in Jesus. This is the God I've discovered. This is how much he loves you. Expands the heart of those who share it. Mission grows us. And so God invites us into it. God invites us into it, I think, in lots of different ways. I want to just briefly pick up on four. I've already talked about hospitality today. God invites us to make use of the spaces and the places that we have, the places we inhabit, for others to find some safety, for others to find some welcome. And in doing so, we're invited to demonstrate what God's like to people by creating places of warmth and safety and beauty and life around our tables, at our workplaces, out on the streets, in our neighborhoods, in conversations, making room for others to be seen, to be heard, to have the opportunity to share in what we have. Hospitality, being attentive, being present, being open, is a natural response to the great generosity God gives us. Justice. We talked about this at the start of the year. I wonder if justice is what generosity looks like when it meets things that are wrong in the world. I wonder if when generous love hits cruelty, abuse, destructiveness, what it does is bring out fight and bring out no and bring out protective power over others. Now, we've talked about justice quite a lot. This term. Go look at the notes we've been sending out on justice and lament if you want to dig into that. I think justice and our desire for righteousness is a working out of God's generosity in a world that's so broken and hard for people. And if you haven't already, I invite you to generously pick a fight and make a part of the world better because of your relationship with God. Witness. In 9 o'clock this morning, we were talking about a bit in Luke's gospel where Jesus says to his early followers, look, they are going to arrest you and put you in front of the authorities, and you're going to be a witness. Now, that happens to people all around our world. Thankfully, not so much to us right now. But we are invited to be a witness, to generously and courageously give articulation by our lives and our words to what God's done in our lives. Similar to how Sam so brilliantly showed us earlier. Just to be able to be people that can say, well, this is what God's doing. This is what God's like. This is who Jesus is. You don't have to have all the answers, and you don't even have to have any answers. Actually, often witness is about having good questions. It's about saying, well, how do you see it? Oh, isn't that interesting? Tell me more about that. Have you ever had experiences of, God's presence or something bigger in the world? What do you think about Jesus? Questions are great ways of witnessing, as is your story. Being able to simply say, do you know what, this week, I was reading this bit of the Bible, and this was the thing that I felt the Lord was saying to me. I felt God was stirring in me. Do you know what, I really struggled with this recently. And I found so much help in my Christian community, my time with God. Finding ways to simply witness, to share what we have, is generosity in response to God's goodness. And giving of time, treasure, talent, offering what we've got to serve others, offering what we've got to God as response to what he's given. So how are we trying to practice being generous as Kairos Church? Well, we've been doing a few things over the last couple of years about learning how better to share our story, how better to talk with others, how better to ask questions. And we'll keep doing that, finding simple ways to tell others the story of God's goodness and work in our lives. And we've been learning how to give what we have and share it. That's one of the reasons that we so believe in partnership, and we love working with organisations like Netmakers, because as we join in with mission that's happening across our town with other people, it multiplies our effectiveness. I love that there are so many Kairos people involved in youth drop-ins around the town, lots of different days of the week. It's a demonstration of the generosity that comes through partnership. We, as a church, like lots of churches, give away 10% of what's given to us. And there are some organisations that we've been able to do that for a number of years. We've given a proportion of what's given to us. And we've just set that as one of our operating principles, because we don't want to be in control of all of our resource ourselves. Actually, some of the resource that comes into us, we want to give to someone else to be able to use. And so there's organisations that we've invested significant amounts of money in and said, well, just you use that. You get on with how God's calling you to live, how God's calling you to serve. And it's brilliant to be part of that. And of course, you've heard me talking here about our Create Space project. We are trying to learn how to make the best of this space so it's a resource for the local community and a place of hospitality, prayer, training, collaboration. And so we're wanting to stretch to invest into the offices end to create some new meeting rooms and a permanent prayer space. We're getting there with that. Windows and doors are nearly finished. We're moving on with that. And we want to invest in this end to to create a den space for our young people. We have lots of youth, great youth stuff happening during the week already. We'd love to see more. And we want to create some space that is just theirs so that they can spill out of it and go back into it, but that there's always a part of Kairos, of Westcliff Hall, that looks and feels like it's theirs. And we had some choices. We had a 70,000 option, which was just knock that down and make the best of what we've got on this side. We had a 100,000 option of just kind of put a decent roof on what we've currently got and make good there, which would have got us a really small little room, but at least it would have been watertight. And we had a 220,000 option, which was to make an extension and a usable room. And it was quite hard working out which one to go with, but not that hard. I'm not asking us to consider a £220,000 extension and new roof for our young people because we're desperate for that to happen. I really want that to happen, not just because we're desperate for that to happen. We're not choosing the more expensive route as our first route to make life hard. We're choosing it because deep down, I've got this gut conviction that it's good to stretch for generosity. And it's good to stretch for generosity, particularly for the younger generations. So if we had an opportunity to stretch, why wouldn't we? And I know some of you have given really generously to Create Space Project already. And I know some of you are thinking about that and praying about that. Another way we practice generosity is through our Kairos communities and releasing as many people who feel called and want to have a go to set up spaces, communities, where others can find some hope, some connection, some healthy relationship. I'm so excited that we are starting 4 or 5 new Kairos communities right now, and so grateful for lots of people being part of that. All of these are ways in which we're trying to respond to God's generous love in generous mission. And I would love you to join in. Not simply to get the jobs done. Of course we want that. But because I'm convinced that there are reciprocal kind of patterns of,
Helen's tapping the watch saying, come on, man, hurry up.
Because there are patterns of generosity. God's gifts aren't one-off gifts. They're invitations into greater experiences of abundance and generosity. Now, that is not a guarantee that life will be easy, it'll be blessing all the time. That is definitely not write the check here and your Porsche will be waiting outside. Doesn't work like that. But God, in God's generosity, invites us to respond knowing that we can't outgive him, and he responds in generosity too. One of the most fun learning curves, I think, in our life as a family has been learning how to step into letting God challenge us around financial giving, letting God challenge us about our time. Like lots of you, there are evenings when we've got people coming round to be part of a Kairos community where we think, oh, I'd much rather be sat on the sofa watching the telly, reading a book, doing my own thing. And yet almost every evening we have Kairos community at our house, we finish with a smile on our face because God's been with us and it's been joyful. There are times where the commitment we've set as a family to give 10% of what comes into us to our church and then try and give to other places on top of that has felt like it's stopped us being able to do some of the other things that peers have been able to do. But so often, actually, as we've taken steps of generosity ourselves and tried in little ways to respond to God's generosity, we've seen him provide for us. There's a participation in God's generosity that just becomes a beautiful ongoing journey. And I'd love you to be part of it. So finish, I'm going to read a few of those verses that we read together again. It sums up that kind of participatory way this works. He who supplies the seed and the sower to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. It's a mouthful, and you're like, oh, what are you saying here? How does this? Because it's describing this like abundant spiral outwards into God's generosity. That Kairos, I would love us to learn how to partner in, participate in. So we live generously, grace abounds, thanksgiving grows, goodness overflows. Generosity is an indescribable gift. How might God be inviting you to participate in it?